Okay, Rabbi Botai, let us begin. Tonight's topic is the third shir in Ma'aser Ksafim, which is the fourth shir in our Tzedakah discussion in general. And we're talking tonight about calculation of Ma'aser Ksafim. How do I decide how much I owe for Ma'aser, specifically in terms of taxes, expenses, and losses? These are the questions that we will try to analyze tonight. So, do taxes count as Ma'aser Ksafim? Now, there are different ways of asking this question. One way of asking this question is that maybe the money that I pay my dearly beloved Uncle Sam, that money itself counts as some sort of tzedakah. Because when you think about it, what does Uncle Sam do with the money? He does with the money a lot of things which halachically might be some sort of tzedakah. He supports the infrastructure of cities. He cares for hospitals. Poor people get money, right?
Yes, for the
Medicare, etc. So a good chunk of that money that I pay to Uncle Sam, perhaps one could argue, counts as some sort of tzedakah. Right? One could make this argument. Why not? The Gemara says that when a fan is saying, so one could certainly make an argument that some of the money that I give to Uncle Sam is going to be tzedakah, and therefore it counts as ma'aser. That's one way of saying it. Another way of asking the question, which is a little bit different, is that maybe the money that I give to Uncle Sam isn't really my income.
Yeah.
I'm obligated to give ma'aser from my income. Well, how much do I earn? Yeah, well, what they tell me in my work, how much I earn, that's not true, because the ma'aser, you know, you look at your paycheck, and at the end of your month, the paycheck is considerably less than what it says you earn, right? Everyone has had this experience in life, I think this is, right? So, If that's the case, so then maybe the amount of money that I give for my taxes does not count at all toward my ma'aser calculation. So let us look into the sources.
But it also,
right? In other words, maybe it takes away, it lowers my amount of income, right? So there are three possibilities. Either if I, let's say, theoretically earn $100,000 a year, right? So that would mean if I earn $100,000 a year, ma'aser would be $10,000 of $100,000, right? But $100,000 a year, I pay, let's say, 35% taxes. Now, again, obviously these numbers are incorrect because, right, it's not that I take home $65,000, I give $35,000 to Uncle Sam.
You never
saw
it.
Because the $35,000, right, A, you never saw it, but that that's just because I withhold taxes. I could theoretically not withhold, right? I could theoretically not do any withholding also, but it's also not really a full 35% because the way graduated income tax works is, okay, this is why we need accountants, that the first X number of $1,000 a year is not taxed. Let's say $11,000, right? No taxes come off of that. Then the next $20,000 I'm paying 15% on. Then, right?
But whatever, in the end,
however the numbers work out, right, it's not really that I pay 35% on all of my earnings. Right? So the numbers over here, to quote a great presidential candidate that we had in this country, don't give me fuzzy math. Right? So that's sort of what we're going to have to get into tonight. But let's try to learn the sources about ma'aser and income tax.
What about also, They take money from your salary for your healthcare.
Okay, so there is healthcare, there's income tax, right, there's FICA, right? What else?
FICA is also a tax.
Right, FICA is also a tax. There are 9 million other taxes, right? We pay lots of.
There are pre-tax deductions.
Okay, so there, and then there are pre-tax reductions. In other words, money that I give to tzedakah.
Deductions.
That you from your pre-tax income that you're not paying taxes on going towards your healthcare or going towards transit check.
That's correct, right? So that money does not come off of my income at all. That's That's correct. But we also have to make a cheshbon. Tonight we're talking about charitable donations. Charitable donations, the way it works, is that it ends up lowering my taxable income. Every dollar that I give to tzedakah, right, the government says, you didn't really earn that money and we won't tax you on
right.
it.
It depends on whether you're taking the standard deduction.
Okay.
That's true.
So... Okay, so we're going to have a lot of conversations tonight. You guys probably know more about some of this than I do, but we're trying to learn the sources together and figure it out. Says the Taz, first source that we have. Taz writes, "Rak yitnenu la'aniyim." He's quoting from the Ramah that my ma'aser k'safim I should not use for any mitzvah. We spoke about that last week, 2 weeks ago. I should only give it to poor people. Zuk de taz rekoshekein lefroa bahem misim de'asar. I can't pay taxes with my ma'aser k'safim. That's what the Taz says. It's forbidden to pay taxes with your ma'aser k'safim. Now the Taz is bothered by akasha. Af al gav de isa beperakama de basra. Even though the Gemara in the first pekka baba basra says shafilu masha umos ha'olam notulim bezroa. He asks Akasha, the Gemara Baba Basra says that the money of mine that the Goyim forcefully take away is also considered tzedakah. If the Goyim forcefully take away money, right? Again, right, we were talking before about the communists, etc. They come, they take your stuff away. So that's considered tzedakah. There's additional sheets over here if someone wants to just pass them down. Still, therefore the Taz is bothered. How come I can't pay my taxes with Miser money when the Gemara in Bava Basra says that taxes that the Goyim take away is tzedakah? Right? The same question that I asked before, that some of my tax dollars go to support hospitals, to support the poor, to pay for welfare, etc., which is tzedakah. The Taz says, okay, I got a source for that. It's the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Tes. Right, and we'll learn that Gemara in a second. Nevertheless, says the Taz, Mikol Makom, Mikri Zeh Poreya Chovo Min HaTzedakah. You can't do it because you're paying off your own debts from Tzedakah. The Mishnayos write that I'm not allowed to use my Miser. Now, in this context, Miser means Miser Ani. I can't use Miser Ani to pay off a pre-existing obligation, no? Says the Taz, also I can't use Ma'aser K'safim to pay off my tax bill because my tax bill is a pre-existing obligation. It's a debt that I have and I can't be Poreya Chovo Min HaTzedakah.
What would the Taz say if that's the only income you have?
The taxes is the only income I have?
No, the Ma'aser K'safim money is the only money you have.
But that also should not be possible.
But what happens if that happens?
It shouldn't. We spoke about last week about someone who's right over the poverty line. That can't happen, halakhically. Right? It's not possible that I have to use up all my money for Miser. Right? Orly?
What if it's a situation like the Maharal Mikrag where the community was issued a specific tax and the community had to raise it and...
Okay, so the way taxes used to work is very different than it works today, right? Today, our taxes are considered fair. Everyone in the country has to pay. We're assuming that graduate income tax is fair, right? Okay, if you want to debate that point, the conversation isn't going to begin, right? So assuming that graduate income tax is considered a fair thing, it's very different than the way taxes used to work, which was that the government would assess a community and say, you community have to raise $9 million. However you get it is up to you, but we need the money or else we will take you prisoner, hostage, take away your land, etc. Right? That was definitionally not considered fair. Now, okay. So basically what we have over here, just to begin, is the Taz says, I'm not allowed to pay taxes from Miser, because the Taz says, my taxes is a chov, is an obligation, and you're not allowed to pay obligations from your Miser money. So far so good?
So basically the concept that you can't pay credit with credit?
can't pay credit with credit.
I mean, that's what
it's not that I can't pay a pre-existing obligation. Like, let's say, for example, I have a mitzvah obligation. Like, we spoke about this in terms of Matan Osa of Yom Nimon Purim, right? It's an obligation I have to give. I can't pay that up for Meiser because I can't use Meiser for something that would be obligatory anyway.
Right, I'm saying it's kind of like paying off a credit card
with another credit card.
You can't do that. Like,
well, you can. Half of this country, or more than half of this country, does that.
There are some that don't let you.
Okay.
Store credit cards never do.
Says, now, this Gemara in Bava Basra that the Taz is quoting.
It's in the back.
The lights don't seem to be working.
Near the other door.
So the Gemara Bava Basra says, V'am Rabbi Elazar. Bisman Beis Hamikdash Kayam Adam Shoko Shiklo Miskapilo. When Beis Mikdash was alive, so I would give my shekel, and that would attain kapara. That's how I'd become atoned. Achshav She'ein Beis Hamikdash Kayam Imosin Tzedaka Mutav. If I give Tzedaka, good. Right? In other words, that is kapara. We spoke about this a bit on Shavuos Betamos, that the Tzedaka counts as atonement. So if I give Tzedaka, great. I get atoned. Ve'im lav, if I don't give tzedakah, ba'in ov de'kochavim, v'notlim bezroah. The goyim come and they take away forcefully. Ve'av al pikein, nechshav lahen l'tzedakah. Shenemar, v'nogsayich tzedakah. Even though the goyim take it away forcefully, it still is considered tzedakah. Thank you. Right, whoever turned on the lights. Even though the goyim take it away forcefully, it still is considered tzedakah. Shenemar, v'nogsayich, that your oppressors tzedaka, they create tzedaka for you. Now, let's go slowly. This is the Gemara that the Taz is quoting, the Gemara that seems to say that taxes count as tzedaka. Would this apply to our tax system? What's the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that when the Beis HaMikdash was around, I wanted to attain kapara, I'd give a shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, I get kapara. After the Beis HaMikdash, if I give tzedaka, great, I get kapara. If I don't give tzedaka, so the goyim come and they forcefully take my money away, and it still counts as tzedakah. Is that what goes on here? I don't think so. And this sefer, the Tzedakah U'Mishpat, this is Rav Bloy. He just passed away this year. He was one of the dayanim in the Badas Eid HaRedis. He used to be the Rav of Shkunat Pagi in Yerushalayim. So Rav Bloy points out in his sefer that he thinks that the Gemara is talking about a totally different thing. The Gemara is talking about a situation that the non-Jewish rulers decide, you know what, we need money. Okay, Jews, pay up. And then they go and they take money away from you. So you might feel really bad. I just lost money. Says the Gemara, don't feel so bad. The money that they took away will be considered tzedakah. Why is it tzedakah? It's tzedakah because it was money that I had earned. Until the ruler got this druk b'moach, that he wants to take away my money, it was perfectly my money. Right? Now he gets this druk b'moach, he takes away my money, so he took away my thing. That's called tzedakah. Tzedakah means he takes away something that was rightfully mine. But our income tax today, the money, Rav Boy argues, and income tax in Israel works pretty much the same as it works in the United States, I think that's correct. So, the money was not mine. I didn't really earn, right? You probably agree with this, Farah. I did not earn that $35,000 this year. Because that 35% of my $100,000 was never mine. The government takes it off the top. If it was never mine, it can't be tzedakah. Because tzedakah means I take my wallet out, I take out of my pocket, and I give it to you. Right. Something that was never mine can't be tzedakah. Moreover, the pasuk says, v'nogsayich tzedakah. Your oppressors counts as tzedakah. That means they're oppressing you, they're bothering you, they're chepping you. That means they're taking away from the Jews and from no one else. But if it's a fair and equitable tax system across the board, that's not v'nogsayich, that's not your oppressor. Mimela, it wouldn't count as that. Mimela, the Gemara in Bava Basra that says that the taxes counts as tzedakah would not help for us. And even the portion of the taxes that goes for the hospitals and for the Medicare and for welfare, etc. That goes to the poor people. Even that portion still is not stuck up because it was never my money. How do I know it was never my money? Well, the fact that the IRS could come and take it away from you, right, and they take it away from everybody, presumably, again, in some ways it's a semantic question, but the assumption that he's making, and I think many posts can make, is that the money was never mine. Let me take a few questions.
Well, first I was just going to ask, in what sense is the payment to the government in the Mara's case in Belbasra stuck? I always thought of stuck as being some sort of contribution to some sort of worthy cause.
So apparently, so the Gemara seemed, again, I read the Gemara like it's, so look in the Me'iri, next source, Ritzon Olomar, She'af Guvinas Hamas, Kishuhu Nosno B'nei Amonos, Yishbut Tzad Stuka, V'usha Menaka Chela Ka'aniyim, V'usha Mitokach Nosim Pana, V'aniyim Misrachamim. Right? In other words, right, the idea is that some of the money is going from poor people. Right, he seems to be saying this Sevara that we were playing with beforehand, that maybe a portion of my taxes should count as staka, the portion that goes to the poor people.
Are you talking about when it's forcibly taken from you?
That's what the Gemara is talking about. When the government comes and forcibly takes the taxes from me, it still counts as staka, the Gemara says. Yeah, Frida.
Two things. One, if you're going to think of it that they took it away from you, so in tzedakah, I mean, a percentage as large as that, 35,000 off of, then you're not going to ever give any tzedakah, real tzedakah at all, because they took more than their 10 or 20%. The other thing is...
Okay, I mean, that's a fair point. But the Aruch HaShulchan makes a point along those
right,
lines.
But the other news is that, on the one hand, well, it's tzedakah, but on the other hand, it's also, you can calculate 10 or 15 or 20 whatever percent, not on the 100,000 but on the 65,000 that's left.
Right.
Because you never saw the 35,000.
So we'll talk about how to do it in a few minutes. We'll get there. Again, this is why I need accountants. This is going to be hard. Yeah.
I don't understand why it's any different when the government forcibly takes away money from you versus, I don't know, let's say you get robbed.
So if
I
get robbed, does that count as Meiser Ksofim? Interesting question. So the Sefer Chassidim actually has a line about that.
I'm prepared.
The Sefer Chassidim, again, we haven't really spoken about business expenses and losses, but if I get robbed, that can count as a loss as a capital loss. And the capital loss doesn't count toward my income. In other words, when I calculate my Meiser Ksofim comes off of my income at year's end, right? If I get robbed from and I have less money, so that means I have less income. I have less income. I have to give less Meiser.
You're saying it's a deduction, but not a deduction.
It's not
a deduction.
Dollar for dollar item. And
it's a deduction.
Exactly. Yeah. In her points, you get robbed dollar for that. They took 100% of the money.
So meaning whatever is robbed, it's only saving you 10% of that amount.
Right. I mean, but it means that I have... Fine. Yes. Agreed. Aliza.
When you're talking about income at year's end, does that include if I need an interest to my account?
Okay, so we will have a conversation about that. There's a lot to do. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Yes.
Thank you, Nick.
Yes.
Nick is a hero, as always. Okay. So now... The Taz says I'm not allowed to pay taxes from my Meiser money. There is it's unclear from the Taz, so if I can't pay taxes from my Meiser money, well, what happens? Does that mean that the money that I get for taxes still counts as income or not? The Taz never addressed that question, right? We read the Taz. He doesn't discuss whether the money that I pay for taxes counts as income. The Sefer Rishon Letzion. The Rishon Letzion is the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in his Sefer here, he says that the amount of money that I pay for taxes does not count as income, which is, I think, what the approach that we are going to take. The proof he brings is from Peah. The Mishnayos say that there's no chiyuv of Trumas and Maisers on Peah. Why? Because Peah is a tax. Peah has to go to the poor people anyway. It has to go to the poor people, therefore I don't have to take off Trumas and Maisers to the Kohen and to the Levi. Similarly, the money that I already have to give for taxes does not count as income, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. This is the accepted psak. This is accepted even though the Chida in his Sefer Birkei Yosef asks on this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. He says, one second, Peah doesn't count as income for Trumas and Maisers because there's a special Gzeiras HaKasav. We learn from a pasuk, Guba HaLevi Ke'emul Chilak V'Nachala, that the Levi, that I only have to give Trumas and Maisers from stuff that the Levi could come and take on his own. Right? Or, I don't have to give Trumas and Maisers on stuff that the Levi cannot come and take. But stuff that the Levi, I should say, could come and take. The Levi and any poor person could come and take on their own, so then I do not have to give Trumas and Maisers on that. So the fact that Peah is run from Gzeiras HaKasuv would seem to indicate that there is no comparison between Peah and using taxes for income. But the Kitzer, this is what most accept the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh anyway, that the taxes does not count as income, even though the proof from Peah might not be a good proof. So far so good? Now, taxes don't count as income. That's what we're assuming. What about... So, let's talk numbers. Okay, this one I need you guys. Let's say, this should happen to me, halavai. Let's say I earn $1 million a year. So, $350,000 of that will come off of taxes. Now, we mentioned before that that number is imprecise. Actually, because that 35% is only... Right?
Well, you could have... Not an ad bracket.
What?
But it makes it simple for the decision.
It makes it simple for this conversation. I earned $1 million, $350,000 comes off as taxes, I'm less with $650,000. So one way of calculating my Sukhsafim is simply I give $65,000 as taxes, as my Sukhsafim. So far so good? That would leave me with $585,000. Good?
Yeah.
I did this beforehand. Right now, we were $585,000 at year end. Now, there's a problem.
You're going to get a deduction.
Because I'm going to get a deduction. Because every dollar that I give for taxes, right, how does this deduction work?
For charity. You would get, not precise, but let's say, your 35% bracket or 30%, whatever.
Right.
You would get back. So the question is, do you have to give more than 10%?
So maybe I have to give more than 10% to make up for the fact that once I'm giving $65,000 for Meiser, effectively that means that my income was lower.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right?
If my right? And then, right, maybe I have to, and some of that money that I gave is actually reducing my income, my taxable income, right? So and therefore I'm benefiting from giving that money, and then maybe that should not count as my, so maybe I can't just give $65,000, I have to give more, have to get additional Meiser. So the Five O'Con makes a cheshbon like this, okay? Now, this, I'm not sure, the math over here is very fuzzy to me. He says you have to add another $2,357 in addition to the $65,000 that you gave because of the deduction that I gave from that
$65,000. Okay.
But then I have to do it again and again and again. Each time I have to keep on adding additional money because of my reduction that comes.
Couldn't you simplify it?
Yeah.
Could you not simplify it by you give a deduction, say you give $100,000.
Give an additional 10% of whatever.
No, you're going to get you're going to get back on your tax return that you file, say next April. You're going to get
my rebate.
Your rebate, and you figure how you refund.
Okay, right. So one way of doing it is giving a second, giving Meiser from my tax refund every year. Also,
that would make it
Much simpler. In other words, I give MISA from the $650,000 that is my take home. I'll give $65,000, and then the fuzzy math will confuse me, so I get my refund check, and I'll give MISA from that check.
That
would definitely work. And that's one approach to doing it. The other approach to doing it, and Reb Feivelkorn for some reason prefers this approach, is that if you earn $1 million a year, you give $100,000 MISA, end of discussion. In other words, the entire thing that we said until now, that my taxes never counted as earnings, right? He says, no, maybe it does. Now, there's even a third way to look at this question, right? And let's read Igros Moshe, the bottom, the last part that I give here, yeah, from the Igros Moshe, I underlined it. Ubedvar mashen nimtza shemar viach al yedei hatzdaka shenasan. Right? This, that it emerges that you benefit from the tzedakah that you gave. Sha'achai nikoy hatzdaka meharevach shalo kefi dina demalchuta b'mas ha... Next words, income tax, right? After I deduct, right, I subtract the tzedakah according to the law of the land with the income tax, havi amas yosei nemuch. So the amount of taxes is less. Imsach zeh shepochte mehamas hu shel tzedakah shel atzmo. We have to figure out whether this deduction goes to tzedakah or goes to me. So zot Moshe pashut shehu shelo. The Moshe says, you know what? The amount of money that comes back, it's all yours. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Take it to the bank, put it in the bank, don't give any more tzedakah from it, it's yours.
But it's a rebate.
It's a rebate. It's a refund, right? Now, I am bothered how come Reb Feivelkorn, who's quoting this Igros Moshe in this piece over here, does not quote this last line. This last line makes the calculation much easier. Right, even your way, that you just take a second nicer from the refund, right? It's still much easier not to take a second nicer. You have more in your pocket, and the refund is your money. It's mine. That's where Moshe assumes. La halacha. So again, there are three different ways of calculating the nicer ksafim from income tax. Again, it seems to me that the approach that you take Meiser from the gross is very difficult. I'd rather take Meiser from my net. Then the question is how many times I have to keep on going and figuring out the deductions based on my charitable donations. Rav Moshe says you don't have to do it at all. I'm inclined that since we began in the original shiur that Meiser Ksafim is a minhag, that a person can rely on the Mekel Shita of Rav Moshe Feinstein and keep the entire refund check for himself or for herself. David.
Is that definitely what Moshe is saying? Is it possible that he is saying the money, that the tax that you save by having given that tzedakah doesn't belong to tzedakah?
He's saying it doesn't belong to tzedakah, it belongs to me.
But maybe you have to give 10% of it to
tzedakah. Well, I mean, if he's saying that it belongs to me and I don't have to give any of it to tzedakah.
You mean the rebate part?
I think the refund.
That could make sense because some, $100,000, you pay $350 in taxes, so you give $65,000, so you've given your 10%, and it's kind of like you just paid less. Well, I see.
But your tax.
I think of Moshe's language here, that Pashat Shehu Shalom, and it's not Shayach Tzedakah, the Hashel Atzmo Nishar Biyado. I think he's really saying that it's mine. Mm-hmm. That's only the way I read it.
I would say a fair way of doing this is to prepare your income tax in two ways. Once with a standard deduction and once with your charitable deduction. See the difference and pay 10% of that.
The difference between the standard deduction and my charitable deduction,
right,
and pay 10% of that.
Yeah.
But that
the difference is how much you're earning from the having given stock.
But I also have to give 10% from my total income. But
he says make sense.
But in addition, you're benefiting.
So pay the accountant double. Pay the accountant.
Yeah. In other words, figure it once with the standard deduction.
Oh, he doesn't have a computer now.
And the difference is how much you benefit from your charitable donations.
Right.
And you must.
That makes sense.
But again, according to Rav Moshe, I don't have to do that. Because Rav Moshe is saying that the amount of benefit I get from my charitable deductions is mine.
Well, how do you figure that?
Right, I'm allowed to benefit from Maisa. That's a good point, right? I give Maisa and I get rich from the deal. Okay, Taka.
On the second line of that paragraph,
yeah.
Moshe seems to phrase the question as, Im sach zeh shebokti mehamas, who shall tzedaka or shall atzma? It doesn't say, he gives the two extreme possibilities.
But again, I think what he means that it belongs to tzedaka doesn't mean that entire money goes to tzedaka. Why would that entire amount go to tzedakah, the amount of my deduction? That's my income was reduced, right? And because my income is reduced, I pay less taxes, and therefore there's more that's in my pocket.
I'm guessing that the argument might have been that you wouldn't have gotten that money if you hadn't given to tzedakah. So now you're going to take it because you gave to tzedakah? No, it belongs to tzedakah. Maybe he doesn't think that it's true.
Right.
But I don't know.
The fact is, though, his conclusion is that the money belongs to me. So if the money belongs to me, I would be inclined that the whole money belongs to me. It's all mine. I'm reading it that that's what he's saying. And then he writes, by the way, the last line, Afilo hanov revach mamish habol odoi de gram hatstaka shayich lo v'lo hatstaka. If tztaka causes some benefit for me, I get to keep that benefit. That's what Rav Moshe is saying. Right? So I get to keep all the benefit that accrues from giving tzedakah. Okay, let's talk about Orly.
What about when you win a prize at a Chinese auction?
Okay, so winning a prize at a Chinese auction, a metzia. Let's say I'm walking down the street and I find $10,000. What do I do?
You're supposed to
give $1,000 to Meiser. Right? All the poskim say, and we'll talk about this in greater depth in a few minutes, that Meiser is not only from income. Let's say Yerusha. A person gets an inheritance, no? What do? You give Meiser. Even though your parents already gave Meiser from that money.
Before you give Meiser, you give tax.
Right. So again, probably you give Meiser from the post-tax dollars, just like with income tax, I'm assuming that you give from post-tax dollars. So I give Meiser from Yerush. I give Meiser the Achronim say, the Aruch HaShulchan. Look at this first Aruch HaShulchan. Mevor B'Yerushalmi, that the first time I give Meiser or Chomesh from the Keren, from the principal, and then I give it from the Reva, from the prophet. V'davar Pashut, sha'av anotin levno l'bito nidunya o'sharmei matanot, a parent who gives a child a dowry, even though the father already took off Meiser, mikom makom kishabali adam, tzrichim lahafish mehakeren Meiser or Chomesh, v'achar kach meharevach, v'chein kol kiyotzi b'zeh, if I have a Yerusha, etc. Right? In other words, all money, even if it's not income the way we generally define income, still all that money is Meiser of Allah. Now, let's just...
What if it's not money? Let's say it's an object. You find
okay, so let's say you get an object, Mishloach Manos. They give you a lot of Shalach Manos on Purim. They have to give one-tenth...
No.
Right, they have to give one out of every 10 Shalach Manos as a gift. So many assume that, yeah. Others say that no. The Chazon Lakish's quote is saying that the only time that you have to give Meiser is when you are calculating the gift in cash sum. If they give a good, that will remain as a good rather than transferring it into cash.
Like the Bar Mitzvah kids' books.
Bar Mitzvah kids' books. So you don't take it, right? But that will destroy, like, two sets of chumashim, you have to take off one.
Yeah, you
have to
file on. Give the amount.
So gifts that you return for cash because you don't
yes.
like the gift.
No, those I have to give Meiser on.
You can buy something else.
That's correct.
That's the gasoline cost of returning it.
Oh, okay. So we'll talk about that in a few minutes. Now, let's just talk about other taxes. Okay, let's just talk about other taxes very quickly. Other taxes. So we spoke about income tax. So I have to. What about sales tax? How high is sales tax now? 8.5%?
Oh, it's almost 9.7%.
8.75%, right?
Only 8.75%.
So now.
Eight, eight, eight,
It's almost nine.
So, do I deduct the amount?
Never.
Right? Do I assume that just like with income tax, that the money that I go to Uncle Sam doesn't count as my income? So the money that I'm giving for sales tax doesn't count as my income. Now, isn't that a chap?
Yeah.
I could say deduct all the taxes that I'll pay. Right? Or for example, I live in the community, my parents live in Lawrence. So the real estate taxes are
horrendous.
Insane. Right?
They're more than my rent.
Right? We rent, so it's much easier here. Right? We don't pay real estate taxes.
Obviously.
But the fact is, right, can I assume that the money that I'm giving for taxes does not count as my income? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his tshuva, basically says that he thinks that the sales tax is considered a debt. It's considered an obligation that I have to pay off. And I'm not allowed to pay off debts from my miser. That's what Rav Moshe says. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted in this Meiser Kesafim book that he says sales tax, and there's some different term in England for sales tax, whatever it is, it doesn't matter.
What? The value added tax.
Yes. Right? Like in Israel, they have that also. Like, you get it back in the airport, right, if you decide to wait online. But Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that that tax is just the pshat that they're selling the item to you for a higher amount of money. Now, if that's the case, so according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, so sales tax does not deduct my miser, but real estate tax would deduct my miser. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, even real estate tax does not deduct from my miser, because the real estate tax, right, is an obligation that I have to give to the government. It's just a chov, as opposed to income tax that Moshe assumes comes off of the top. It's like I never earned it. For some reason, he splits between income tax and real estate tax.
The real estate tax affects income tax if you're itemizing a percentage of that.
Yes. And that would obviously confuse our MISA calculations tremendously, but okay. Again, I pay someone to prepare my taxes for me because I can't think this through straight. Aliza, you had a comment?
Well, so I'm trying to figure out if you can deduct that from your income because it's like an obligation, and then only have to pay the maser from subtracting out all this money.
Deduct what from my income?
The real estate taxes.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that I can't deduct it from my income because there's a separate obligation that I have called real estate tax I have to pay. And therefore, it doesn't deduct my miser at all. But according to Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Reb Feivel Cohen Paskins this way, I can deduct my real estate tax from my income.
You're making
$65,000
and then you're paying $10,000 in real estate, so you're going to take a maser with $55,000.
Exactly. Now, let's just,
I don't understand why real estate tax should be any different than your rent bill or what you're paying for regular utilities.
Okay, so maybe it's just
part of owning a home.
So the only difference is that if it goes to the government, so we do have this Gemara Bava Basra that says that stuff to goes to the government is somewhat considered like tzedaka. Again, we tried to like push that Gemara off, but that might be the difference, as opposed to when I pay rent to my landlord. Now, let's go slowly. So that is now. Let's say regular. So we mentioned that I give miser from Yerusha and from Metzias that I find. I give miser from everything. There was a minhag in Germany, right, that they didn't give miser from Nidunya. In every other country in the world, they give miser from the dowry. In Germany, they didn't. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in the Savo'a that he gave to his family, said, don't take miser from the dowry, because I already took miser for you. And that's worth a lot, if Rabbi Kiva Eger put it down. We're not exactly sure the lumdus of it, but Okay, Rebbe Kivager said that the minig in Germany was that they did not take Meiser from dowry. In other countries, the minig was that they did take Meiser from dowry. What about ordinary expenses? Now, expenses come in two forms. There are household expenses and there are business expenses. Right? So let's go slowly. Household expenses. I earn, let's say, $1 million a year. So my $1 million, chick chock boom, is now $650,000. Of that $650,000, so I don't really get $650,000 at year's end, because some of it goes for rent and for food and for other living expenses. Does Meiser come off of after I paid all my living expenses? Or does Meiser, right, that's really the net profit, year end, how much remains? Or does Meiser come off of how much money my paycheck says? Right, that's another question that should be asked. Now, 98% of Orthodox Jews assume that Meiser comes off of the paycheck. Right, and the rationale that they give is as follows. If you're going to tell me that Meiser comes off that my household expenses are deductible from Meiser, so then I'm going to buy myself a Rolls Royce. Right? It's hard to park in the Heights, but okay, I'll buy it anyway. Right? You buy a Rolls Royce, and you'll buy really expensive suits, and right? And then I have no Meiser to give. And the Aruch HaShulchan sort of makes this point. The Aruch HaShulchan says, right, in Se'if Zayin over here, the Aruch HaShulchan says that, you know what, there's no way that the regular household expenses are deductible from Meiser, because if that's the case, the Aniyim won't have anything that's left. Yeah. That's what Aruch HaShulchan says. However, there was a great Jew that may or may not have disagreed. What was that?
I like to believe we're good people deep down and don't...
Okay, so some assume that maybe what you do is you'll be normal household expenses, right? Not extravagant.
Bureau of Labor Statistics.
You might spend more than ordinarily you would, and not scrape as much, but I think the person would be trying to avoid tzedakah altogether.
What about mitzvah expenses?
So, we spoke about mitzvah expenses briefly a few weeks ago. I'll touch about it again in 5 minutes, or 2 minutes. So most assume, like the Aruch HaShulchan, that household expenses are not deductible. The person who might disagree is the book that you learned in fifth grade, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but this line may or may not exist in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And let me tell you. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch in Simen Lamed Daled letter Daled. I give it to you over here. Kama Yitein Adam Tzedaka. Shana Rishoni give Meiser from the Keren. Mikan Ve'elach give Meiser from the Prophet. Chutz Mitzarche Beso. Now you see Chutz Mitzarche Beso? Right? That means besides my household expenses, correct? But I have that in parentheses. Why do I have it in parentheses? Because in some editions of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, that line is there. In other editions, it's not there. The one I have in the home, I checked, has it. Not only do they have it, they have a footnote. The note says, yes, this is the way it appears in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that was printed in 1884 during the lifetime of Rabbi Shlomo Ganzfried, of the author. And it said, the household expenses are deductible. Cyril Dohm, who wrote this book, the Meiser Kesefim book in English. Cyril Dohm gets really, really, really angry about this. And he says that he checked all of the manuscripts of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and it's not there. And he says, obviously, it was inserted by someone else. Although it was inserted in his lifetime, it's not in the first printing, which was some 20 years earlier, etc. And the whole thing is a lie, and it came up in the Vilna Press, and the Vilna Press was notorious for making mistakes. There's a printing press in Vilna, not the Rum printing press. There's another printing press in Vilna that was terrible. They just say, my father has like some siddurim at home from the other, it's officially a Lubavitch siddur, but like there's nothing Lubavitch in it. Printed in Vilna, who would have guessed? Right? But the fact is, this line probably does not exist in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, so Cyril Dohm claims, although in this edition of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that I have at home that I used in elementary school, it is there. Okay, fine. In some editions it is there, in some editions it's not there.
Master's thesis.
I don't know what to do with that. The later poskim, the Tzitz Eliezer, says, you know what, it may or may not be there, but the fact is you could rely on it, because we mentioned that Maaser Ksufim is a minhag. And if it's a minhag, so what you should do is, the first time you give Maaser, so then say, I'm only giving Maaser from the amount of money that remains for me at year's end. Wow. Now, if you do this, you run the concern that Aruch HaShulchan has that the poor people won't have any money. Because, right, ultimately, this is a very risky move. I don't recommend doing this. I really think that, you know, you should try to give tzedakah, but as a matter of halacha, it could be it's not so crazy that you'll give Maaser, right, from the amount that remains for you at year end. Now, let's just talk very briefly about other expenses, mitzvah expenses. So we mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, I forgot already, that there's a big machlokas. The Ramos says I can't use Maaser money to pay for mitzvos, and most other achronim disagree. The fact is, even if I disagree with the Ramah, or since there's a machlokas here about whether I can use my Maaser money to pay for mitzvos, that means having the entire amount of mitzvah payment. I buy my esrog, right? Or I buy an aliyah in shul, or I buy any mitzvah that I give, right? So maybe the entire amount won't count as Maaser. But it would make sense, and this is the way Rav Loi paskins in the Sefer Tzedakah U'Mishpat, it would make sense that the mitzvos are deductible. So when I make my Maaser calculation, I don't say that my income was $650,000 because I deduct the $4,000 that I spent on my esrog and on Sfarim and on
Shmur Matzah.
What? Shmur Matzah. Shmur Matzah is $20,000, right? And that all of that money is deductible from my Maaserable income.
Okay.
In other words, it will lower my Maaser bill. That is that I think is a psak that really makes sense. Let's just talk very briefly, Aliza.
Because I know we discussed this last week, but then once you deduct, if you deduct tuition, because we're saying that that's
right. So last week we spoke about maybe tuition, the entire amount could count as Maaser, the entire amount for my kids over the age of 6. That's what I'm focusing on, the Shach and the Taz. But it could be that it certainly counts as a deduction, right? And then the $40,000 that I'm paying this year to my kids' chinuch would really come off, right, of my salary. Right? That could be. I think that's a very reasonable type of psak in terms of how to calculate Maaser Ksufim. Now, business expenses can deduct from my Maaser amount. In other words,
can you? Are you asking?
So it's a question. Can you? And then the answer is yes. You can.
Well, that's going to knock down your
taxes. So this will knock down. Let's say like this. In order for me to earn my $100,000 this year, I have to fly to who knows where. Right? And when I'm traveling, so I have to rent a car, and I have to pay for my hotel, and I have to pay for my food when I'm on the road, etc. Business expenses, right, is necessary to earn money. So money that I need to earn other money ends up meaning that I didn't really earn that amount of money. If I have to spend $10,000 to earn $100,000, so reasonably speaking, I only earned $90,000.
It's the same thing here. It's just your income subtract expenses leaves you
with your... So income. So I subtract my expenses. The same cheshbon that Form 1040 has.
Yeah, that's
right?
Part of it. It goes...
So, that makes sense, right? So I can deduct my expenses, but expenses have to be reasonable. Now, there are many politicians who have gotten in big trouble for this in recent times, correct? I'm very nervous. Whenever I travel for YU, I go to Israel, I'm very nervous about what is considered a reasonable business expense, right? I'm entitled to $60 a day of food. YU pays you well when you travel, right? $60 of food can go a long way in Yerushalayim, right? Now, does that mean that, and food includes like taxis to and from the restaurant where I want to eat, right? But I could also make myself a cheese sandwich I need in my apartment at night,
and build
right? So I think it's reasonable, though, that to eat hot food and not to have to eat a cold cheese sandwich. I think that's reasonable. And while you says up to $60 a day is reasonable, they give that cutoff. Many places of work don't give any cutoff, right? And they say whatever is considered a reasonable expense. Now, there's a long tshuva in the Chavos Ya'ir about this, about a businessman who had to buy fancy clothing for his job, no? That's a legitimate expense, says the Chavos Ya'ir. But he says if you're buying an outfit and the mashal gives us with silver buttons, right? So that's not a legitimate expense. The Rolls Royce is probably not a legitimate business expense. Right? I remember, like, when my father was running the Federation Movement, so they would buy him a new car once a year. They felt that, well, that was like his business thing. So they used to try to encourage him, like, to get a good car. My father felt that, no, it doesn't make sense to get a good car. If I'm collecting stucco all the time, you can't drive a fancy car. On the other hand, the Gemara does have a line that the Gabite stucco has to dress well, yeah, so that they treat him with respect. No?
Yep.
So there's a difficult balance that has to go into this, that, but in terms of the calculation of Meiser, it could be it's exactly the same as what the IRS has, but it could be that the halacha would define a reasonable expense slightly differently than the government does. Yeah.
Well, let's say you do have a business expense, but then your office pays it back, you're then whole. You're not missing any money that you would have laid out before.
So if my office, yeah, right, so if my office reimburses me so I didn't lose anything, absolutely. But if I'm self-employed, right, so then the issue comes up. Now, I'm spending X number of $1,000 a year. I spend $10,000 to earn that $100,000. Right?
You're more inclined to eat cheese.
But you're right. But I mean, like, when I work, I get reimbursed. For me, the question is just, is it, like, legal in terms of going out for dinner or whatever I do?
There is a chart that shows, depending on from the U.S. government, where you're traveling in the country or world, how much your per diem is per day.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
Again, the government, Baruch Hashem, has does all of this stuff. Fine. So, reasonable business expenses. Let's say you have a couple, like is standard today, that both the husband and wife work. In order for both of you to work, you have to pay a babysitter. Yes. That is a reasonable expense.
Yeah.
That comes off of my Meiser calculation. Now, the government does not take all my babysitter. I pay my babysitter on the books. I have to admit, I think you're obligated to do so.
You're the only one.
I could still be on the Supreme Court, maybe. But,
yes,
the fact is, that it's certainly a full amount of my babysitter certainly comes off as a Meiser deduction because I need that money in order for my wife to be able to earn her money and for me to earn, right? One of us would have to be home with the kids, either me or my wife, right? So the babysitter definitely is a Meiser deduction. Other deductions, again, fine. Let's just talk about one more cheshbon and then we'll leave it. Let's say I have a house and I bought my house for $1,500 10 years ago. And now, again, I'm just using the 1,500 pounds 10 years ago. I'm using the numbers he has in this book. And then I sell the house for 2,000 pounds.
No.
Okay? So, do I assume that's 500 pounds profit and therefore I have to give 50 as my sir, no?
Because of the inflation.
Or I say that there's absolutely no. So the assumption is that inflation, that the cost of living index is factored in. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein says. In other words, when I sell a good, or when I sell stocks, right, and I say, oh, I earned X number of profit, this is very complicated. If someone is working in finance and they don't get paid in cash, they get paid in shares. So how does a person calculate their Meiser? So the best thing to do is probably to give 1/10 of your shares to Tzedakah. Right? The Mount Sinai Jewish Center will accept shares of stock. we will accept appreciable iniquity. What's it called? We accept many iniquities. But we accept appreciable equities that I think is pretty standard. It makes it much simpler. If you're going to try to make a cheshbon of what it's worth, then you end up having to factor in what it's worth at which time in the year. What time of the year do I make my Meiser calculation? Let's just talk about this. So most assume that you do it before Rosh Hashanah. No?
Mm-hmm.
Now, The reason why we do it once a year is because by Miser Tavua, there's an Isser, by regular Miser from Green, there's an Isser, I can't take off Miser from 1 year onto the next year. I once heard from Rav Schechter that he felt that if it's based on Miser Tavua that I can't take from this year to next year, so then I should use the Rosh Hashanah of Miseros, and maybe I should take off my Miser before Tu B'Shvat. That Tu B'Shvat should be my Miser time for the year. It happens that the Chofetz Chaim, the Sefer Avos Chesed, thinks that you should make a Miser calculation twice a year. Most of us who may make it once a year. For some reason, in the Badei HaShulchan, the Five Kohen says that you should make it once a year, but each person can choose their own time per year when to make their Miser calculation. And he has a whole cheshbon out that whether I could choose the time of year to my own benefit. Sometimes you could play with the numbers that way. I thought the classical poskim say that you should pay your Miser dues on Erev Rosh Hashanah. You should get Miser. Again, not tax season. So the problem is most people end up doing a tax season because that's the only time of the year that I really know what I have.
Well, that's when you're getting your money back and you're like, well, I have money.
Well, that's after, right? When I get my refund check.
Yeah. You get your refund check.
Does that mean you do your calculation, you give one lump sum of Miser, or are you expected to...
The other way of doing it is that you give Miser throughout the year, but I should make a calculation at one point during the year how much Miser I have to give out over the year. Now, some people have a seasonal business... Right? So the business can be very lopsided.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to do the Miser at the
peak
season, and then I have to give a ton of Miser because I know I'm going to have losses. Like the pizza places near YU, no? They lose money this time of year because there are no students around. But they rake it in when there are students. Mm-hmm. Right? So it doesn't make... It makes sense for Chaorah to put an entire year together, but Chafetz Chaim for some reason assumes that I should make the Cheshbon twice a year. I really don't understand why that would be true. It would seem that I look at my entire year and I make a Cheshbon of Miser.
He says look at it twice a year. Does he mean to look at the year as a whole on two separate times?
I think he assumes that two separate times I look at each six-month period on its own. I think that's what he assumes.
I can't carry over about the loss 1 year and say, well, I'm going to deduct from the loss.
So I shouldn't carry over from year to year. If there's a significant, extraordinary loss 1 year, you have a flood or something, you lose lots of capital, so then that does carry over. Now, we didn't discuss capital expenditures. In other words, if I own a farm and 1 year I invest in a combine that costs me $400,000 that I'm going to use for 20 years... Right? So I lost big time this first year because I invested in my combine. Right? If I take that entire loss for the first year and then every other year I look at my gain, so in the sum total I end up paying more Miser than if I would say maybe this combine should be divided out over 20 years of its useful lifespan. Right? Now, what does the IRS say about
that? Just what you just said, over the lifetime there's going to be depending on...
So I have to look at the item and assume what is... I'm sure there's some charts.
And that's called on your... You'll see a depreciation expense each year.
So the depreciation expense, again, in terms of Miser, even though we do it year to year, but I have a certain leeway that my major capital expenditures I can distribute out over a number of years, or else it just doesn't make any sense to do it a different way. Yeah?
I think I heard from somebody the concept, and the opposite way, like if you give more to tzedakah than necessary... And then one particular year, like more than your 10%, can that carry over from year to year?
So the Chafetz Chaim discusses that if I gave more, it could be it does carry over. Usually the best thing to do is to set aside a Miser account. Let's say I loaned money to a poor person I'll never get it back. I could set aside a Miser account the next year, and when I don't get it back from him, then I'll count it for myself. But in theory, I shouldn't go do Miser from 1 year to the next year.
Because I know some people that are very heavily involved in tzedakah organizations and constantly giving up their own money, their own whatever, in order to volunteer and to help out. Like, they have a calculation that they've given so much to that organization. Right. So,
The simple reading of the poskim is I should make the calculation every year. That's a simple reading of the posting. Now, just one last point. We mentioned that the amount of money it takes me to earn money deducts my Miser. This is actually different than Miser Tavua, no? when I have a field, so I pay $100 for seeds. That $100 seeds I put into the field, right? And then I produce a whole field of wheat, etc. And I take miser from all the wheat, and I don't deduct my $100 of seeds, right? So this point that I deduct my expenses is different than miser tavua, even though we've been equating miser kesafim to miser tavua in terms of the one-year time frame, maybe even the Tu B'Shvat cheshbon, maybe the entire source of miser kesafim is derived from miser tavua. So there's a lot of mysterious stuff going on here. How, to what extent is it compared to miser tavua? To what extent is it not compared? We're doing the best we can, and thank you very much for coming.
Time, which is
donating time. So if Moshe, so most assume that the time, if I have a partner, yes, right, I could say that I chose you to be my partner because I know that you're going to put in X number of hours into the business, and the time I don't calculate for the miser. He has a long discussion about that, why the time doesn't count for miser. It doesn't count as a deduction, yeah.
Doesn't on your tax return either.
Okay. Again, so it's very similar. But basically, what David is telling us is that the IRS is mechavin to everything it says in the sperm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for coming.